Welcome to Souls Harbor Church. We're glad you're here. You can also join us in person at 2601 North Meridian in Wichita, Kansas. We have services at 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. on Sundays and 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights. We are a place of grace and a Bible-believing Pentecostal church where everyone is welcome to come and experience God. On behalf of Pastor Clark and all of us at Souls Harbor, I invite you to come and worship the Lord with us. I know you'll be blessed. Now let's join the service.
Backing us in this battle. It's like the biggest army in the world times infinity going into battle when we go to battle with the devil, because we have every power that God has behind us. We don't have to be strong because he's strong. We don't have to figure out how to defeat the devil because he's already a defeated foe. It's already covered in here. We already know how the battle ends. Yet we go into the battle and we try to fight it like we don't know how it's going to end, Brother Leonard. We go in there and we fight like we're not sure how it's going to turn out. And then we wonder why it doesn't turn out the way we thought it would. Because we've got to go in there knowing what thus saith the Lord. What this word says. Because this word says we win. This word says that we're going to tread on him. This word says that the devil can't touch us. But yet we let him touch us. We want to play around sometimes with the devil. It reminds me of the cartoons, the old Looney Tunes cartoons, where Bugs Bunny would say, I dare you to cross this line. And then Yosemite Sam would cross, well, I dare you to cross this line. And pretty soon he's backed up against the wall and wonders what happened. We do that with the devil. Well, devil, you can make me a little bit sick, but don't give me this particular disease. Okay, well, you gave me that disease, but don't make it really bad. Okay, well, I got that disease, don't do that. No. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's not an example of strength when you're sitting there backing up in the face of the enemy. We got to stop backing up from the enemy. And I'm so far off note, it's not even funny, and that's all right. Verse 11 in the King James says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We'll get to this in a minute, but that means he's tricky. That means he's playing games. He's doing things that aren't necessarily playing fair. We've got to be able to stand against that. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And the Amplified on that says, for we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere. It's not an enemy that we're going to walk up to and fight physically. It's the enemy of our soul. It's the devil that we're fighting against, and all of his evil things, and all of the demons that from hell that try to attack us. And you know, the first thing we've got to understand, the harder he attacks, the better we're doing for God. Because if he's not attacking you, it might be because he thinks he's winning and he doesn't need to attack you. Think about that for a minute, because usually when he leaves me alone the most is when I'm the farthest from God. When he leaves me alone the most is when I'm not fighting the fight. When I'm sitting back and letting him take from me, he'll leave me alone. He fights when I start fighting back. Amen? So now let's take a look a little further at this. It says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. He says stand a lot there. And we're going to talk about that a little bit too, because standing is so important. Instead of backing up, instead of walking away, we have to take a stand against the devil. We have to say, enough, we're not doing this anymore. We're standing right here, and we're not getting pushed any further. And again, over in the Amplified, it says, therefore put on God's complete armor, that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger, and having done all the crisis demands, to stand firmly in your place. I want you to think about that. Stand firmly in your place. That's your place. You have every right to stand there because God said so. Because God said who you are, and God said that you have a right to what he's given you. And everything the devil's trying to take, he's trying to steal from you. You wouldn't let somebody walk into your house and steal from you. You'd call the police, you'd get out a gun, you'd do something. But for some reason, we let the devil steal from us. Why do we do that? I don't have a good answer for that because I can't figure out a good reason why we'd do that. But yet we do. So then it goes on, it says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about you with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness. I want to talk about this armor for a minute. I'm going to take this jacket off because it's getting warm in here. I want to talk about this armor for a minute because we study that in Sunday school. We've all colored pictures of it over the years and done all kinds of stuff with it. But I want to really talk about what that armor was because he's talking about a Roman soldier's armor. That's the armor they knew at that time. And this was serious business, the armor, when you really get to looking at it. Will you put up that first picture for me? So he says to have your loins girt about with truth. What he's talking about is that belt that that soldier's wearing. And I want you to take a good look at that belt. It's a heavy leather belt, and it's designed to hold things in place. It also holds that breastplate in place, because if it didn't, the breastplate would move all over the place and it wouldn't do its job. So that belt is important. It holds things in place. That's what the truth does for us, because we know the truth of the Word of God. We know the truth of who we are, the relationship that we have with God that you talked about this morning, Pastor. We know that truth, and that truth holds everything else together. Everything that we talk about tonight is going to be based on that truth. And if we don't have that truth holding it together, the armor falls apart. The other thing I want you to notice about that is you see the little gold pieces on there? They tell me that those were actually loose on there and they would make kind of a ching, ching, ching sound when the soldiers would march. You get a couple hundred or a couple thousand of those soldiers marching, that makes like this really loud noise that says to the enemy, the army's coming. We're coming. You better be scared. See, when the truth comes out of our mouth, it makes the same noise to the devil. Yeah. It says, you better be scared, not of Jim, not of Pastor, not of Paul, but of the truth of God's word that's coming out of that mouth, of the power that goes with that truth, of the fact that God is in control and we have God's power and God's authority. So when that truth comes out of our mouth, it's doing the same thing that those little gold things did. It's sending a message to the enemy that we're coming, and you better be scared. Amen. Next one's the breastplate. Take a look at that. That's a serious piece of steel. That thing was designed to protect the heart and the lungs. It was designed to make sure that nothing got through there. So if there was an arrow shot, if somebody threw a rock, if there was a club hit, it would bounce off of that piece of steel so that it protected the heart. That's what our righteousness does. Not my righteousness, because if you built a breastplate out of my righteousness, you may as well go get you some Reynolds foil and make it out of that, because that's how flimsy our human righteousness is. But it's the righteousness of God. Amen. And that is powerful. That is strong as steel. That doesn't go anywhere. But you see, the devil would like for you to believe that you don't have that righteousness. He'd like to come along and convince you that that breastplate is flimsy. But can I tell you, if you're living for God, if you've taken on his righteousness, if you've let him into your heart and you're living for him, you have a steel breastplate that protects your heart and lungs from the devil, that protects your soul, that keeps you safe. It's designed to protect you. Next it says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now I want you to think about that for a minute, because they were fighting in an area of the world that was hard to keep a foothold. It's sandy, it's rocky, it's not like they were marching on, you know, paved roads or anything. They had some serious ground to deal with. Take a look at what these shoes looked like. One of the things they did is they would come in and they would put these cleats on the bottom of it. Sometimes they'd use nails, they'd use pieces of metal or rock, and it was designed to give them a strong foothold so that when they had to take a stand in that battle, they didn't slip and fall. Or when they had to march miles to get to the battle, they didn't slip and fall. That's what we need to do with the gospel. We need to stand on the gospel so we have a strong foothold. So when the devil starts pushing and fighting, we don't move. We stand. We get some traction. That traction comes from the gospel. That comes from knowing what it says in Revelation about what happens to the devil at the end. That comes from where Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. That comes from where Jesus died on the cross for us, and we know that, and we stand on it. We sing a song, Standing on the Promises. We need to get on those promises with some shoes like that that don't move. Amen? And the way you get those shoes is you have to know that gospel. It's got to be inside of you. Because unfortunately, we can't lace the Bible to our feet. We'd look kind of silly. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take a look at the shield. A lot of times we talk about shields and we think of the little kind of things they used in the medieval times that just kind of covered their arms a little bit, and they were always doing like this with it. That's a serious shield that the Roman army had. That guy can get completely behind that shield, his entire body. I don't know why he's got his head poking up over there. He needs to get down behind the shield. Can I tell you that that's what our faith is supposed to be for us, is a shield like that that will cover our entire body. And take a look on the right where there's a group of three or four or five of them. They've got them in front, and some of them have put them up over top too to protect the entire group. You can't get to those soldiers behind those shields. That's what our faith does for us. When our faith is doing its job, when we get behind our faith and we understand what we believe and we stand on that faith, we have the protection like that shield does. It protects from our feet to our head. We can get completely behind it. It's not just designed to be something that we kind of hold out here. It's supposed to protect us and keep us safe always. That's our faith's job. That's why God gave us faith. That's why God said that by faith we can move mountains. That's why God said that our faith is what makes us strong, because that faith is that level of protection. So when the devil's coming at you in the battle and he's attacking you, that's when that faith needs to well up, and you need to realize you have a full-size, full steel shield that he can't get through, and it's called your faith. But when you don't use your faith, you're like that fellow on the left over there who's kind of hanging his head up over the shield waiting to see what's going to hit him. How often do we do that with the devil? Well, I believe, I know, but let's see what the devil's going to do anyway. Let me look over here a little bit. And then we get hit in the head and we wonder why. It's because we weren't behind our shield of faith. Let's see here. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now let's take a look at these helmets. Those are some serious metal helmets. And they're designed to cover the entire head. They're protective pieces that will keep things from getting at the head. So again, rocks, arrows, they didn't have bullets back then. Even a sword would bounce off of those. Imagine they're heavy too. Thankfully, our helmet's not heavy because the burden's light. It's easy. But because we know our salvation, we're protected from fear. See, the devil likes to try to get in your head and bring fear. That's his favorite weapon. If he can get you to worry, Val, John, if he can get you stressing out and worrying and afraid, he can start to do all kinds of stuff. But because we know our salvation and we carry it with us and we wear it as a helmet, he can't get in. He can't touch us. But we have to be confident in that salvation. We have to know that we know that we know. And that's how we put that salvation helmet on. And it protects us. And we've talked about this before, but the sword, we think sometimes about it as this great big sword that, you know, I can stab you from here with. And the reality is, if you'll put that sword up there, it's a dagger. The word that they used in the Bible in the Greek actually refers to a small dagger. And do you know why that is? That's because the devil doesn't fight us at a distance. He gets in close and personal. It's hand-to-hand physical combat. Yeah. He gets up close. He wants to talk to us and get serious about it. And we've got to be able to fight close in. Because if we had some big sword, we wouldn't be able to fight with that up close. We'd end up getting our tail kicked. But with that little bitty dagger, it's powerful. It's sharp. It cuts. And when he gets in close, we can get in close. And the way we do that, I'm not talking about taking your Bible and hitting him with it. The sword is what comes out of our mouth. It's the word of God. It's the word that we speak over the situation. It's the word that we speak in the middle of the battle. It's the word that comes out of our mouth when the doctor says you're going to die. It's the word that comes out of your mouth when they say you're losing your job. It's the word that comes out of your mouth when you start to have doubt and fear. If you're saying, oh dear, I don't know what we're going to do, you're using the wrong weapon. It's the word that comes out that says, my God's going to protect me. It's the word that says, I've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. It's the word that says, greater is he that's within me. When that word is what comes out of your mouth, that's when you're fighting with your sword. That's when you're getting in there and doing damage to the devil. What he'd like to hear you say is, oh dear, oh, have you seen what's going on? That's not what we want to do. That's not the weapon you want to fight with. That's the little toy sword that my son has. That's not the real knife. I want you carrying your sword. I want it at your hand in the ready all the time, because you never know when the devil's going to attack. You've got to be ready all the time. You know, my son watches Power Rangers quite a bit, and I laugh every time I see it, because they'll get ready to fight these bad guys, and there's like this 30-second period where they go through and they change into their outfits and they do all this stuff, and I'm like, is the enemy really standing there waiting for him to change clothes? Because that's what we do with the devil, though. The devil attacks and we go, wait a minute, I know there's something in the Bible for that. Somewhere here it said, oh, where is that book at? Where is it at? I know I read it. Hang on, devil, hang on. Wait. Hold on. Hello, pastor? I need some word. I need to know what to say to the devil. Can you help me out? And by then, the devil's so busy laughing, and he's already got his attack over with while we're trying to figure out what word we need. That's why it's got to be inside of us. That's why it's got to be down in here, so that the moment he attacks, we have that knife at the ready. Because that's the other thing that belt did for that Roman soldier. They carried their sword right there at their side. And when the attack came, it was quick. They had it. They didn't have to go back to the garrison and get it. They didn't have to go figure out who had it or where it was or which knife to use. They already had it. It was there and ready to be used. That's where we've got to get to, because otherwise we're not wearing the full armor of God. If we don't have that word instantly at the ready, we're not dressed for battle. And can I tell you, if you go into battle not dressed for it, you're going to get your tail kicked. I mean, we hear about our soldiers overseas that don't have the tools they need to fight the battle. And we think that's horrible, and it is. But then we go ourselves into battle without all of our tools that we need, and God's provided every one of them. We have them all at the ready. All we have to do is get them. But that means we have to spend time in the Word. That means we have to spend time with Him. We have to have that relationship, that just a few more minutes you were talking about this morning, Pastor. Because see, what happens is the enemy attacks, and we go, uh-oh. And what we should be doing is letting out a war cry. What we should be doing is saying, no, devil, no further. We're not playing this game today or any other day. When the devil comes along and says, I'm going to mess with your body, we should be saying, no, greater is he that's within me. My Bible says, by his stripes I'm healed. Devil, take your hands off of my body. But instead we go, well, I don't feel very good. I'll be all right, though. I don't know. Maybe I need to sit down and rest for a few minutes. And eventually, if it gets bad enough, then we want to go fight. I tell you what, if we played the game like that all the time in real life with the things in this world, we wouldn't get anywhere. But yet we do it in the spiritual realm. Yeah, yeah. If somebody was coming in that door right now with a weapon, I know at least half a dozen men in this church that would rise up and go overpower that person. Yeah. But the devil walks into our life with his weapon at the ready, and we go, come on in. Hang on, let me get my Bible. I'll see what I can come up with. We've got to be just as quick to handle a spiritual threat as we are to handle a physical threat. We've got to be just as quick to address that as we would if somebody was coming into our house. Because, you know, the devil comes into our house and he takes our kids. He comes into our house and he takes our loved ones. He comes into our house and he takes our joy and our peace and our happiness and our health. And we just stand there and let him. We've got to stop doing that. And I'm not meaning to be on your toes. I'm guilty of it too. I'm guilty of it too. When this mess happened with my face, the first thing I did was go, oh no, that's going to take 6 months to get better. And God said, you remember that sermon I've been giving you? Pay attention, son. Yeah. And then my dad said, pay attention, son. And then I went, I don't want to listen to you right now. But you know, the reality is he was absolutely right. I did exactly what I'm talking about. I immediately went to what the doctor said. I immediately went to, woe is me, look at my face. Oh, what am I going to do? And as soon as I did that, the devil came along and he said, you're not going to preach like that, are you? They're going to think you look silly. You can't stand up and preach like that. You better call pastor and tell him he needs to find somebody else. And thankfully, that was the point where God welled up inside of me and he said, don't you dare. And I said, no, I'll preach if I have to stand up there and do it in sign language. I'm going to stand up, I'm going to preach, because I believe that when I get in that pulpit, God's going to fix it anyway so that I can do what he sent me to do. So I'm not worried about the devil, and I'm not worried about what's going on. And amazingly, when I finally got in the battle and started fighting, this mess started clearing up. Can I tell you I can close this eye fully now? I couldn't do that last Sunday. Can I tell you that I can almost whistle again? It sounds silly, but that's one of the things I can't do right now. But I'm getting closer. Every day it's getting better. Every day that healing is coming and coming and coming and coming. Because I finally got hold of what God's trying to tell us. Take a stand and go take the fight to the devil. Because see, the devil doesn't wait for us. He's not standing out there from afar throwing rocks at you. He's getting right up in your face. And he's bringing the fight to us. We need to fight just as hard. And we need to fight back just as hard. But we've also got to be careful because he's tricky. You know, if you look at what he did to Eve in the very beginning, the Bible says he was more subtle than any creature that God had created. He slid right up next to her and he said, surely you're not going to die if you eat that fruit. Surely God didn't mean that. And she went, well, maybe he didn't. Give me a bite of that. If the devil had come up to her and said, hey, we're going to make God really mad and mess up everything that you've got going for you, there's no way she'd have done it. But he tricked her. He was slick. He got in there and he talked to her. Same thing he tried to do with Jesus. If you look in Matthew 4, it's not in there, baby, don't worry about it. Jesus went out to the wilderness, and the devil came along and tried to tempt him several times. Turn the stones into bread if you're hungry. I'll give you this whole world if you'll just bow down and worship me. Yeah. And every time, Jesus had his armor on. If you look at that, you can see elements of that armor, every single piece of that armor in that confrontation between the devil and Jesus. And Jesus ended it with, "Get thee behind me, get thee hence, depart from me." Depending on which translation you read, they're all definitive statements with exclamation points at the end. He didn't sit back and go, "Well, let me see." He quoted the word to him, and then he told him to get lost. He got out his knife, and he stabbed him with the word, and then he said, "Get away from me and leave me alone." Amen? Because he wasn't going to play games with the devil. He didn't mess around and think about it. He didn't have to go look and see what it said in the word. He knew the word because he was the word. We know the word because it's on the inside of us. And if we're spending the time with it that it deserves and that it needs, we'll know that word when it's time to produce it. We'll be able to bring that word out exactly what we need, because God said he'll bring it to our remembrance. But we got to get it in there before he can remind us of it. He can't remind you of something you don't know. But the more it's in there, the easier it is to remind you, the easier it is for you to access that, the easier it is so that when things come, because they will come, and the more you do it, the more the attack's going to come. I'd love to be, that's why I say I wish this could be a feel-good message. But the reality is, if you do what I'm talking about, the attack's going to go up. It's not going to go down. The devil's going to ratchet it up because he wants to see if he can break you. Can I tell you he can't break you? Can I tell you that it doesn't matter how hard he pushes? It doesn't matter. Jimmy, come here for a minute. See, when the devil comes at you, try to push on me like I told you. When the devil comes at you, he'll push. Do it again. Harder. He'll push hard. And if he pushes hard enough, again, he can back you up. Daddy, will you come here for a minute? But you see, when the devil starts coming, I call my daddy. And I don't mean this one. I mean my heavenly father. And when he gets behind me and he puts his power behind me, now try to push me. He can't move me. Try again. Give it all you got, man. Nope, can't do it. Thank you very much. Because when God gets behind you, the devil can't move you. When God gets behind you, the devil can't stop you. There is no power on this earth that can stop God. There is no power in hell that can stop God. Because if the devil could do it, he'd have already done it. Do you understand? He's a desperate foe he's losing. And he's fighting. He's got nothing left to lose. But he knows that the battle's over. So he's trying everything he can to get you to give up. Because the only way he can win is if you'll give up. And if I'll give up. Because he can't take it. We have to give it. And we don't want to give it to him. Amen? Do you know the Bible says in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." All things. That means no matter how big that battle is, no matter how hard the devil's fighting, no matter how much it seems like you can't do it, you can. You can overcome. You will overcome. It says in Isaiah 40:29, "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength." So if you feel like you're weak and you can't do it, ask for help. Did you know that sometimes the best battle cry you can make is, "Lord Jesus, help me." Because that's calling power forward. That's calling your daddy to get your back. Yeah. And when that devil starts trying to push you, he can't push against God Almighty. He can push Jim Black, let's be honest. I can be pushed all over the place. But when my daddy's behind me and those angels that camp around about me are working with me, he can't touch me. He can't steal what God's given me. He doesn't have the power, and I'm not going to give it to him, and neither are we anymore. Amen? You know, the Bible also says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil," and he might go away. No? Put that up there, James 4:7, I believe it is. "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." It don't say might, it don't say could, it don't say should, it don't say if God's in the mood, or if you ask with the right words, or you say the right things. It says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God." See, we like to leave that part out. A lot of times we don't say that part. We just say, "Resist the devil and he'll flee from you." But the first part is we've got to be submitted to God first as good soldiers. See, that's part of being a good soldier, is you have to submit to authority. When the general says to go do something, you go do it. When the captain says to go do something, you go do it. When the idiot across the field from you that wants to shoot you says to do something, you ignore him. but you would submit to the authority of God. When we do that, the devil can't touch us. Because when we're submitted to God's authority, when we're submitted to Him, we're going to be lined up so that He can't make us question our righteousness in Christ Jesus. He can't make us question our salvation. He can't make us take any of that armor off, and He can't get through that armor. Amen? He cannot get through the armor. The only way He can do it is if we take it off. When we take the armor off, then we're exposed, and that's when things don't go well. So I want to close with this. We're not fighting a physical fight. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10 and 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Amen. Pulling down of strongholds. I want you to understand that symbolism also. Stronghold was a fortress, a fort, a mighty building that the enemy would hide out in, and they'd shoot at you, shoot arrows, throw things at you, but you couldn't get to them because they were in this stronghold. But the Bible says that our weapons are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. That means tearing them down, not just getting in, but destroying the strongholds of the enemy that stand against us. That's power. That's God's power and God's might. That's the thing that we need to be accessing and getting a hold of. And we have access to that, like Pastor told us this morning. We have access to the throne of grace. We have access to the very power of Almighty God. But we have to access it. We have to go ask for it, and we have to be ready to go fight the battle. And we're fighting a spiritual war. Stakes have never been higher. We're fighting for our very soul, our life, our freedom, our happiness, our joy, our peace, our everything that God's given us, our finances. The devil's fighting hard. If he can make us poor, miserable, sick, and lonely, he'd love to do that. But we're not going to allow it anymore. Again, in 1 Timothy, it says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Fight the good fight of faith. Saints of God, soldiers in this army, I want you to fight like heaven depends on it. I want you to fight like your very life with God depends on it, like everything that God has given you depends on it, because it does. And it's time for us to rise up as an army of God and stop letting the devil push us around. It's time for him to stop taking our health. It's time for him to stop taking our joy. It's time for us to stop giving it to him, because he can't take it. We have to give it. Stop giving it to him. Amen? Amen. Amen. Because the Bible says we don't have to. And why on earth would you give it to him if you don't have to? I've asked myself that same question so many times. I'll get stressed out about something and I realize it's the devil whooping me around the battlefield. It's like, why am I doing that? Why am I letting him do that to me? I know better. And then, of course, the devil comes, "Well, you're a preacher and you're letting me beat you." So I got to get myself straightened out, just like we all do. We've got to get back in the army. We've got to get back on point and get ready to fight, because I'm telling you, we say we want a move of God in this church. We say we want to have some Pentecostal power in this church. That's going to attract a fight. And I wonder sometimes if God's waiting for us to be ready for the fight before he puts us in it, because he won't send us somewhere that we can't win. So I'm going to tell you what, if we want God to bring a move of God in here, we need to be ready to fight. Because when we fight, we will win. Amen? Not because of us, because of God. Because God is in control and God's going to fight that battle for us. Amen? Amen. Has it been good tonight? Do you feel like you're ready to go out and fight a fight? Do you feel like you're ready to take on the devil and quit letting him whip you around? Because frankly, I'm tired of hobbling around the battlefield. I'm ready to get rid of the crutches and start strutting around the battlefield as the victor. I want some of them spoils. Amen? Thanks for joining us here at Souls Harbor Church. We hope you've enjoyed spending time with us and hearing the Word of God. We invite you to join us live for the service and be part of all that God is doing here at Souls Harbor. Be sure to check back each week for our latest message. And in the meantime, be blessed in Jesus' name.